Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Wormhole Writers You Decide. We're here today with Eddie McClintock in the studio. Well, actually, remote studio. Eddie's in Orlando, Florida. He's down there working on a fun project at the Dave School at Universal Studios. Eddie, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Ken. Thanks for having me, man.
Hey, the live segment was pretty popular. Got some retweets out there, and we expect a lot of podcast downloads. We don't get as many live callers as in the old days. Everybody's got their iPads and iPhones and Droids and everything else, and they like to download the show. Our site gets just wiped out Monday mornings with downloads, thousands and thousands and thousands of them. At this point,
it's kind of like television is now too. You know, no one watches live TV anymore, and unfortunately, you know, I think the networks are still looking to the Nielsen's, those live numbers, as a measure of how a show's doing.
Well, the Nielsen's do play a pretty big role, but with the advent of the digital DVR and digital cable here in Canada and the United States, or in the United States and Canada, every one of those DVR'd views accounts towards the ratings now. It wasn't that way when Warehouse 13 first started 4 years ago, so that's good news. But, you know, there's a lot of online viewing, there's no doubt, and people like to download the shows onto their, you know, various mobile devices and watch them that way too. Those are being counted also. They're looking at that. And in the last year, I don't know, maybe you've noticed, you know, they've merged the advertising, you know, like when you go to even YouTube, right, where they're doing stuff. But the networks, the commercials are in line, just like they are here on my Comcast cable box where I watch 13. So the model is changing. But a few shows bit the dust during the, you know, where the relying on the ratings. The ratings for Warehouse 13 have been strong, and we're really looking forward. Are you excited about what's coming up in season 4.5 before I turn the mic over to Holly? She's got a series of questions. Are you excited?
Yeah, I usually, before the season starts, I have an opportunity to watch all the shows, so you know, it's as the show comes on week to week, it's never really much of a surprise to me, but I haven't seen any of the shows. The only show I've seen is Living in the Dead, because I went and I watched it online with everybody else the other day. So we have some really great episodes coming up. We've got a noir episode where Pete and Micah get trapped in a noir novel. And Enrico Colatoni from Just Shoot Me and Flashpoint is in it. And Missy Pyle, who was in Galaxy Quest with Enrico, they're both in it together. And I think it's going to be one of our very best episodes. We shot it in black and white with all the same kind of framing and lenses that they used to shoot with back in, you know, back in the 30s or 40s.
Wow. That's really exciting. Well, at this point, Holly, I'm going to ask you to take over while I send some tweets out about what we talked about in the first segment. Please go ahead.
I got it. Hey, Eddie.
Hi, Holly.
Of all the artifacts that y'all have had during the seasons, what is your favorite artifact? This question is from Patricia Arctic Goddess 1 on Twitter.
What's my favorite artifact that we've had?
Yes.
You know, what comes to mind was the Spine of Sarazen, which was in season 1. It was it was an Aztec relic that was developed to embolden the Aztec warriors and to make them invincible. And this thing attaches itself to the host's spine, and basically it depletes the host. It uses the host until it eventually kills the host, and it attached itself to Pete's back. And there's a scene there where Pete is basically sacrificing his life for the world and for his cat, you know, his teammates, and And, you know, that for me was probably the first time in my career where I happened to had an opportunity to do something that was that dramatic and that intense. And so that kind of sticks out. After I did that, I kind of, you know, I thought I did a fairly decent job. I was happy with the way it turned out, and it gave me confidence to kind of keep moving forward with my career and with Warehouse 13.
I remember that episode. That was awesome, and you did a great job.
Thank you.
You and Allison are active on Twitter. Fans would like Joanne to tweet. Is there any chance of that happening in 4.5?
Wow. I don't think so.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she's always made fun of me about it. She says I'm, you know, addicted to it, and that may be true. I definitely will say I really enjoy being able to check in with Warehouse 13 fans and talk to everybody, and you know, I mean, it's just not her thing. She's only putting me down. She's not putting down the world of Twitter as much as she just likes to, you know, mess with me. But I don't know. You know, maybe she will, but I wouldn't hold my breath. I were the person asking the question.
Well, you know, Eddie, Holly, let me intrude just a second. One, we know some people that, you know, they're not regular tweeters. They're not really active on Facebook either, which is fine. We respect that. But several shows have turned the main show account over to a person, you know, for an evening. Sci-Fi's done it. We've seen NBC do it. We've seen Fox do it. CBS, CW Network, and they take over the account. So, you know, we understand that Joanne, you know, may not want to be a tweeter. I asked her the same question at Comic-Con in an interview. I didn't put it out on the video, but maybe she'd like to, you know, go on the Sci-Fi Warehouse 13 account and send a few tweets out there. The fans would love to see your tweet. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I don't know. I get the same questions when I'm at conventions. You know, when's Joanne going to come to a convention? When's Joanne going to get on Twitter? And I wish I had those answers, and I wish I could answer for her. Trust me, I've come just short of pleading with her to come with us. You know, I mean, I really enjoy hanging out with Joanne. And, you know, when you go to a place like Dragon Con or, you know, fly to Australia or go to any of the great cons around the country, you know, it is a blast. You know, I have a great time. You know, I think she's just shy. You know, I love sitting and talking to people and, you know, meeting people, and Joanne's just kind of shy that way. So, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, that's okay. That's okay. You know, never say never, right?
That's right.
Will you and the cast live tweet during season 4.5 of Warehouse 13 when it's being broadcast?
Yeah, actually, from what I understand, they're going to put up my Twitter account. It's interesting that you mentioned that, Ken, because they're going to put up, this is what I understand, they're going to put up my Twitter account, and during the episodes, you're going to be able to tweet with Pete Latimer every week during the episode.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Through my Twitter account.
So it's going to be Pete Latimer, but I know Allison's pretty active on Twitter. Trailer the dog barks a few tweets. We might, you know, again, without revealing what's coming up in the marketing here, it's possible we might see some guest stars tweeting through your account.
I don't know if the guest stars would tweet through my account, but you know. Definitely, it'll probably, I don't really know the exact details other than, you know, Jack Finney and I will probably be sitting somewhere giggling together during the shows and typing things.
Very good. Very good. I've got a couple of questions here from Patricia. Do you see yourself as the Inspector Jacques Clouseau of Warehouse 13?
the Inspector Jacques Clouseau? Jacques Clouseau? Is that
no
what?
Clouseau?
Was that like a mix? Was that a mix between Peter Sellers and Jacques Clouseau?
however you want to take that, just run with it.
Yes, the wisecracking oceanographer. I love the Pink Panther stuff. I love Clouseau, Peter Sellers. I have comedic actors whose work I really, really, really admire and respect. And if anyone would ever compare me to that or put me in the same, even, you know, ballpark, then I would absolutely say yes to that.
Well, obviously, Patricia put you in the same question with him, so there you go.
Thank you. Thank you, Patricia.
Here's another one from Patricia. What is your relationship with Saul, Allison, Aaron, CCH, Janelle, and Joanne Locke offset?
As I said a bunch of times, I think Joanne and I, because we spend so much time together, I think we know each other better than I know the rest of the cast, really, because we spend so much time together. My relationship with all my castmates are really good. My relationship with Joanne is great. I love Joanne. But I always like to say that it's like anything else. You know, it's like when you have a family member. Sometimes you don't get along. And sometimes you may not like that person that much that day, but, you know, no matter what, you love them. And that's the way it is with me and Joe. It's like, I'm allowed to pick on her, but I better not catch anyone else picking on her because, you know, I'll come to her rescue for sure.
Very good. Very good. Do y'all have time to goof around when you're on set?
Yes. Yes. You know, Jack Benny.
Can you tell us a little about that?
Sure. Well, you know, Jack Kenny, our exec producer, it's kind of, you know, it's a trickle-down, kind of a trickle-down economy on the set of Warehouse 13. And I think it's probably that way with every show. If your showrunner is relaxed and funny and well-respected, then I think that he sets a tone there on how people are allowed to behave and how they should behave. And we have a good time. I mean, we work very, very, very hard, but if we just worked really hard and didn't have fun, the show would not be going into its, you know, possible fifth season. You know, you burn out. You just get burned out. So we have a great time. Jack gives us the freedom to be creative when it comes to, you know, the scripts and our characters. So it's a lot can be, the hat can be tipped to Jack Kenny for that, for the fact that the show is as lighthearted as it is.
A happy set is a productive set.
That's right.
Who are the regents, as far as you can tell?
The regents, well, Beyonce is definitely a regent. I don't know if anybody knew that. Did I just
That was a spoiler, Eddie. Beyonce is a regent, but yeah, keep going on that. I like that.
Bieber. I know, the Beeb. The Beebster. Lindsay Lohan.
Awesome.
So we're in good hands so far.
Oh, my God.
Poor Justin Bieber, Eddie. You know, he's got 35 million followers, but the news leaked out here recently that over 50% of them are fake. That his PR people paid for those 17.5 million followers. How about that one? Poor Justin.
That doesn't surprise me. That someone else just told me that same thing. So, what are you going to do? The poor kid, whoever, his parents made him turned him into a star, and now he's got millions and millions of dollars, and what do I know? I wish him the best. I hope he gets through this, because I hear he's getting, he's been having some trouble, so I wish him well.
Well, I've got another question. Are the regents authorized by government? Do they work independently, or will they be kept mysterious? Do you have any idea?
I think that the regents work outside of the government. That's more of a Jack Kenny question. I may be completely wrong. I have a feeling that they are above the law. Because if it wasn't for the regents, there would be no law. So I would say that that's a great question. Hopefully we can, I'll steal that idea and take it to the writers and we'll use it and not give you any credit.
Okay. I'll still just tweet you, okay, and retweet you. All right. Thanks, Eddie. I'm going to turn it back over to Ken now. It was
Eddie, I wanted to let you know we've got a spoiler here. Holly Wilson is really one of the regents, okay? She's on the board.
Right.
She's working with Fahan Tahir, and, there's trouble coming.
That's like a regent. She got that regent authoritative voice.
Well, you know what they say. Holly lives outside of Dallas. You know what they say, don't mess with Texans, right?
Is that the accent? You're Texan, hey?
I am, hon. Yes, I am.
My wife is from Corpus Christi.
Well, you know the accent then.
Right. Texas women are the hottest.
They are indeed. We have another question from Patricia. Again, she wanted to join. She sends her deepest regards. She actually, she really wanted to be here, but something came up. Do you think that the creators, Jack Kenny and others, might consider a movie or miniseries after Warehouse 13 Season 10?
I think so, sure. I think Jack loves doing the show. It's his baby. It's his deal. And if somebody presented the right situation, I think that everybody would love to do that. I'd love to do a movie, a Warehouse 13 movie or a miniseries. I think it'd be great.
Well, a number of franchises have made the jump. Stargate, Star Trek, even my favorite Martian got a re-spin on The Neighbors on ABC, so we might see Pete Latimer on the big screen, Warehouse 13.
And I have a huge head, so look out if it ever gets up on a big screen. It's enormous.
Patricia has...
I have like a Patrick Swayze-sized head. A very large head.
I'm not going to tweet that. We'll let the people listen to that on the recorded segment for download. And again, folks, thanks for coming to Wormhole Writers. You decide. You just go back to the original news story, click the little inverted wormhole, bam, it'll download the MP3 right to your device, and you can listen to Eddie at work, at home, cleaning the cat box in the warehouse. There's a number of opportunities. Patricia has another question. She loves the show. She loves the whole cast, Allison, you, Joanne, Saul Rubinek. She's a big fan of Saul Rubinek, CCH Pounder, Aaron Ashmore. God, we almost broke my heart when he got killed but then came back. That was a good deal. What would you like to see happen in upcoming episodes? Again, we're trying to keep it totally spoiler-free. And do you have a favorite episode of what's coming in season 4.5? You talked a little bit about it, but...
My fantasy episode would be to have Bruce Campbell come and be like Pete's forgotten brother, so he could be like the Battle of the Chins. I'd love to have Bruce Campbell come and do the show. I want to explore Pete's alcoholism a little bit more. I think that Jerry Ryan should come back, and that she and Pete should have a big steamy love scene.
Do you think Brother Adrian should marry you and Jerry Ryan and you know, get remarried? What about that?
Yeah, I think Pete and I think they belong together. You know, I just want to see that the relationships deepen, and that's which is kind of why I think most people tune in. I mean, of course, the sci-fi and the fantasy stuff is always fun, but I think they really show up to see how these people are going to relate to one another, and so I would say just I hope we keep doing what we've been doing.
Well, you're doing a great job. Warehouse 13 has really developed the characters over the first 4.5 seasons. We're looking forward to the second half of season 4. And I'm serious. I'd love to see Warehouse 13 go on to a 5, a 6, a 7. Speaking of Jerry Ryan, you know, she's got a new gig over at ABC on Body of Proof with Dana Delaney and also Brent Spiner as Brother Adrian played what we thought was a villain, and then he turned out to be a good guy. What was it like working with those two veteran actors in Warehouse 13?
Well, no, I did a show a few years ago called Shark, which was James Woods played a defense attorney who then became a prosecuting attorney, a DA, and Jerry Ryan was one of the cast members, and I remember sitting there and just going, oh man, I mean, you know, she just is so stunning, you know, and then you talk to her and she's awesome. She's funny and smart and, you know, it's just like all these great qualities in one person. She's just really, I mean, I kid around, but you know, I think Jerry is amazing. And you know, again, it's one of those things where you meet someone and you hope that for as much as you admire them and their work and stuff, that they're going to be good people, and she turns out to be just one of the best. I think the same can be said for Brent. You know, I don't know if people know this about him, but he's really funny. He's got a web series called Fresh Hell that he does, and he writes it, and it's pretty funny and clever, and it's great. It was great working with both of them. I hope they can figure out a way to make them come back on the show.
Well, as you know, they say nobody dies in sci-fi. So who knows? Maybe you'll find an artifact there in the warehouse, or Trailer the Dog will bring it to you, and poof, there they are. They're back. So
that's right. Unless you can't make a deal with the network, then you may die for real.
Well, we'll see. You know, we're going to be tweeting up a storm when the show comes back. So if you block Holly or I for spamming you with tweets, we'll understand. We completely understand. Just teasing.
Holly, do you have a separate Twitter account?
Do I one that you can block? I can create one. Yeah, I'll create the Trello the Cat account.
Will you guys create them so that I can block them? Because I'm drunk with power.
I'll create some fake accounts and I'll let you know that you can block them. Okay.
All right.
Going back a little bit, you're a veteran actor. You've been acting for a long time. You've been in a lot of great shows and some movies. The Boogeyman was kind of a fun movie. Patricia wanted to know, Arctic Goddess one on Twitter, when did you know you wanted to become an actor, and did you have a mentor that helped you on the path to becoming as successful as you are today?
I don't know if I knew that I wanted to be an actor. I knew that I loved television and film, and, I grew up watching Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley and Saturday Night Live, the original Not Ready for Primetime Players. I loved, every Friday night back in Ohio, back in Cleveland, they had a show called Big Chuck and Houlihan, and every Friday at 11:30, Big Chuck and Houlihan would play, King Kong versus Godzilla, or all the great B sci-fi horror films that I loved to watch and still love today, and and I used to do impersonations of all the characters from Saturday Night Live, and because I loved making my mom laugh. And I grew up as a wrestler and didn't really realistically think that I could ever be an actor. But I moved to LA to sell insurance for my uncle in '91, and then he fired me after 7 months. And I moved from West Hollywood. I moved from West Los Angeles over into West Hollywood, and started working in the production. I was a PA for about 2.5-3 years, and I just one day just said I'm going to start taking class. I'm going to take class, and I'm going to try and be an actor because I basically, I just didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. So. I finally found that I could take acting, for the first time in my life, really, I started taking something serious and really applying myself. And, cause I kind of thought, maybe I'm running out of chances here. And I've been really, really lucky, the fact that I've been able to, make a living and support my family as an actor is, the odds are against me.
Well, it's a tough industry. There's no doubt about it. We've got another question, this time from a little different geographic area. This is from, I'm going to try to get the Twitter name right, Scoose Girl. That's S-C-O-U-S-E-G-I-R-L 67. Her name is Jude Plunkett. And her question is, hi, from the UK. This is a United Kingdom fan. Her question is, being kind of crazy yourself, do you find it more of a challenge to play the Pete character serious?
Generally when you like talk to comedians or people that play comedic parts, they tend to be pretty, pretty dark. The other side is pretty dark. So I love having an opportunity to go from being, crazy, wacky Pete to being serious, grounded Pete. It's a way for me to kind of express that part of who I am and let people know that it's not just it's not all poop jokes with me, darn it.
Well, Warehouse 13 is very popular in England. It's a popular series everywhere. And so, you know, we like seeing the serious Pete. I mean, the way that you do it, you'll be being goofy Pete for 1 second. All of a sudden, it's like, bam, you know, and Pete will say something very prolific. So I want to thank Jude Plunkett, ScooseGirl67 on Twitter for that question. Moving on. Let me put this out here that we asked your question. Do you think that the actor in you, this is from Patricia again, who couldn't join us, do you think the actor in you wants the same thing that the audience wants? Does that make sense? You know, the audience wants entertainment. The audience wants to be... you know, be involved and in the character. Is that what you want when you're watching the show or other shows, for that matter?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I watch television shows and films because I love to be affected by moments and by scenes and by, you know, whole films altogether. I love whether it's making me laugh or you know whatever emotion that I'm being made to feel. I guess that's what I love most. I love a good story. I love watching great actors do amazing things. I just saw this movie, The Place Beneath the Pines, which is with Bradley Cooper and Ryan Gosling and Eve Mendes and Ray Liotta. And there's some other actors in there, lesser known actors who just do such amazing work. I mean, the movie is so good, but it's really a movie of great performances. And I highly recommend it, you know, especially if you're somebody who admires the work of an actor the way I think I do. You know, I was just blown away by that. So that's kind of why I watch, so that I can be affected and made to think, you know, to kind of question my own mortality, I guess.
Well, entertainment is a something that everybody enjoys from a very young age, whether it's on stage, in film, or on TV. And, you know, if the characters don't come to life the way that you've made Pete Latimer come to life, a show wouldn't last 4 seasons. So kudos for Pete and everything that you've done for the fans.
Thanks. Yeah, that's one of the things about Allison Scagliotti. I mean, all the actresses, but, you know, Allison is so powerful in a room. You know, she wears her heart on her sleeve, and I think that as a viewer, you can really feel that. And so if she's able to convey that kind of emotion through a television set, you know, imagine what it's like to be in the same room with her when she's going through that stuff. It's you know, I kind of feel it's a privilege. It's a privilege to be able to experience and let someone trust you enough to show you that part of who they are, you know. I think that's one of the things that I really just love about acting is that level of trust there that as another actor, you'll be there for them and that they're able to show you who they are, and they're so willing to show the world who they are, like the sickest, darkest parts of who they are and the lightest parts of who they are.
We have one more question from Jude Plunkett in the UK, a big fan of Warehouse 13. She wants to know is selling a piece of your art, getting a good review, in selling a piece of your art, or getting a good review, which is better?
Hi, Jude. It's funny, I know Jude. I've met Jude a few times. She's a great lady. But I would say that, you know, getting a good review begets selling a piece of art. So, you know, I think people are more likely to buy your art if you're getting good reviews. So I would say get the good review first and then worry about selling the art.
Well, there's an old expression that my grandfather taught me, and that was, you don't have to trumpet your own horn. If you're doing good work, people will know about it. And absolutely. Thank you for asking. You must have met her at a convention over in the UK, or did she fly in Australia?
I did. I actually met her. It was one of my very first conventions ever. It was in Daventry, which is a tiny little, you know, like, I don't know, village in the middle of England England. And, you know, it was just this little boutique convention. I didn't know what to expect. There was like 50 people there, and we had breakfast with them and lunch with them. We played this game Pass the Parcel, and, I mean, it was like a three-day sleepover, and got to know Jude and hang out with Jude. And then I saw her in I think Manchester. I was just in Manchester about 8 months ago. I think it was been that long, about 6 months ago maybe. And she likes to yank my chain a little bit. She's a good lady.
Well, that's wonderful. We've covered some events in England, MCM Expo, London Comic Film Festival, and of course Amanda Tapping at her AT6 convention, which is intimate, a little larger than 50, but it's held near Heathrow. But it's there's about 400 attendees, and you really get to those are rewarding. We like to cover some of the smaller conventions ourselves. They're very rewarding, wouldn't you say? I mean, where you get to be up close and personal with your admirers.
Yeah. You know, I feel like I owe it to the people that come out to see me and that support the show. They've given me a career. They've made it possible for me to, you know, send my boys to a proper school, and so it's nice to be able to give something back.
Indeed. Well, we've always enjoyed seeing you at Comic-Con. We cover a lot the larger shows as well. This was a question from Gene. He's a Twitter follower, very shy. He always sends me these questions by DM rather than – he doesn't even want to know people to know his Twitter handle. So he'll listen to this and he'll know it was asked. On Twitter, he says some actors interact – with their fans more than others, like you, do you think it's fun to interact with your Twitter followers? Is his question?
Yeah, I do. You know, early on when I started on Twitter, I got some other actor people that I knew saw me interacting with the actual people. They were like, "You're not supposed to talk to them directly." Because next thing you know, they'll be, you know, talking to you, and I'm like, yeah, and I didn't get it. I was like, okay, what's the problem? I didn't understand why, like, I don't want to play games. Like it's not I'm not here to be, like, I don't want to be overtly manipulative. It's not about that, right? I mean, that's not what I see it as about. Like, I don't understand, you know, unless you're so incredibly busy that you can't, you know, attend your own Twitter site. I like being able to say hello to people. And, you know, like I said, I grew up in Ohio. I remember sending a a letter to Henry Winkler when I was a little kid because I loved the Fonz so much. I was just this little kid in Ohio. And I was like, I love the Fonz, and I wrote him a handwritten letter, and I waited and I waited and I waited, and one day a letter came back from Henry Winkler, and you know, with like some photos and stuff. And I don't know if it was him that actually wrote the stuff, but man, I'll tell you, it changed things for me. I just like thought, and to this day, I just think he's the greatest, you know. So if I can respond to somebody, and somebody in Ohio tweets me and says, hey man, I had a terrible day today, could you just say hi? And sometimes I'll do that, you know. I mean, I don't do it for everybody because I just can't with the amount of people that there are on my feed. But I definitely like to let people know that I'm out there and in more ways than one.
Well, Eddie, and by the way, you can call me Kenny. Only my mom calls me Kenny, so you can just, and you can put the E on there like Kenny.
Kenny.
There you go, perfect. I'll let mom know that you used her name. No, but seriously, a lot of admirers, fans, get a lot of inspiration from the celebrities that they had, you know, that they follow on the shows. And my kudos to you for interacting as much as possible. I think, well, you've got 55,000 or something followers out there. Your feed must just be, you know, your mentions must be incredible. So.
Yeah, 55,267, but who's counting?
Well, and don't forget, Holly and I are going to create some fake Twitter accounts, and you're going to go up, you know, maybe 100, and then you can block those accounts, okay?
Yeah, let's go. Come on, man. I want to get a bunch of fans, and then I want to put them down for being so loyal.
Well, somebody may do this, so when they hear the recorded segment, I'll make a Trailer the Cat account, and you can...
Soleil.
And it'll follow Trailer the Dog. It'll follow Holly because she's got a nice cat in Texas named Layla, named after the Derek and the Dominoes song. You're a rocker. You love rock music.
I thought Clapton, but I guess it is Derek and the Dominoes, yeah, first, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so I've been trying to get Holly, are you going to make a Layla the Cat account, please?
Oh, God, I don't know. She's crazy enough, Ken.
Anyone here a really bad off? It's not like a dirty joke, but it's you'll go, oh, want to hear a really cringeworthy joke?
Yes, sure.
What's the difference between a bag of cocaine and a baby?
Holly, you want to try to answer that?
Cocaine weighs
Eric
more?
Clapton, Eric Clapton would never let a bag of cocaine fall out the window.
Oh.
Terrible. Terrible.
Hey.
Hello. I kid.
I know. We know you're kidding. Yeah, and folks, just say no to drugs. Even Nancy Reagan said that. I think she still says that. Even to Jane Fonda, who's playing her in the new movie coming up. But let's not go too far into politics here. What advice, you know, there are some actors, we've met a lot, we've had the privilege of meeting a lot of actors in Europe, Australia, United States, Canada. And some are, you know, on screen their personas are very outgoing, their characters are outgoing, but in real life they're kind of shy. And they don't tweet. They, you know, which we understand. But would you? This is my question. What advice would you give to actors about being more involved with their followers, the fun that's in there, or whatever? You know, for the actors that don't tweet.
I think Twitter is. I think, you know, social media is going to become more and more important, especially for actors and actresses, and it's a way to let people know where you're going to be and what you're going to be doing, and let people know your interests and who you are, I'm all for it. Obviously, I've got 8,824 tweets that I've sent out, and you know, it's a great way to be creative, to figure out how to say something in 140 characters, and to be as concise and as possible. I have a lot of fun with it. I'd say do it now, right now, this moment.
Absolutely, we agree. And so, folks, stars, celebrities, directors, writers, create those Twitter accounts and tweets, and you'll be surprised. We've worked with a couple that were never involved, and we had the honor of announcing them. And next thing you know, they had 2,000, 3,000, 10,000 followers, and at which point we step back and let them tweet with their fans, and, you know, it's a lot of fun. And thank you for all your fun tweets. We like retweeting them. I want to ask you, this is not on the questions that we went over ahead of time. You're a rocker. Matter of fact, Mike DePood, a Stargate guy, talked about you rock on Twitter recently. You might know Mike from Stargate Universe, Stargate Atlantis, and he's coming up in a new show on ABC called Mistresses. But you do rock, and you like rock music. Can you share a little bit about Pussifier? Because I see a fair amount of Pussifier tweets.
Sure. I know Mike because he came and did an episode of Warehouse 13.
That's right.
So, you know, great guy. You know, he's got that show Mistresses with Jodi O'Keefe, who I did a TV movie with a few years ago, who's amazing. And so, you know, I like to be able to support them. I think I retweeted some of their promos for Mistresses. But Pussifer actually is it's Maynard Keenan, James Keenan, lead singer of the band Tool, who is also the lead singer of a band called A Perfect Circle. Maynard has been a friend of mine for almost 20 years now. And I actually did all the artwork for his first album, B is for Vagina. And I did all the artwork on the sleeve and on the inside of the sleeve. and you know, I love music, and I was just fortunate enough to have him as a close buddy, and Christopher is his brainchild. It's kind of, you know, it's not Tool, it's not A Perfect Circle, it's kind of its own. I mean, I wouldn't even know what, like, musical genre to place it in, but there's a new album that he just put out recently called Conditions of My Parole, which is just, it's fantastic. So they're in Coachella this weekend. They were in Coachella over the weekend playing. They were in Chile, and they were in Brazil, and, you know, they're playing for, like, 150,000 people right now, so...
Well, I've watched some of their music videos. You tweet them, and I watch them. They're a great band. And sorry, I said Pussifier. It's Pussifer. Sorry, got that wrong. On a different topic, you've had a very successful line of product, the Warehouse 13 T-shirt product, signed by Eddie McClintock. How and when did you come up with the idea for the Warehouse 13 T-shirts that you sell?
Well, you know, I was an art major in school, and I've always, you know, I have a website, eddiemcclintock.com, where I have artwork up there that I sell a couple pieces a month, I guess, you know. I had all my artwork in my closet, and when Warehouse 13 started to become successful, my wife just said, you know, you should do something with your art, you know, put it up. And of course, you know, I was just like, what if people hate it? And I'm sure some people do, but so you know, I didn't see a whole lot of Warehouse 13 merchandise out there that that I would want to wear myself, and I just thought, oh man, what if I did it? I did my own design, and I wonder if people would be into buying those. And you know, I was lucky enough to have some connections through my wife. Used to work for she worked for G4. She worked for G4 Television, so she had some connections, some printers, and we knew some people. So I threw some money into a little T-shirt account, and we started making T-shirts a few seasons ago. And this year, I mean, the new season 4 T-shirt with the football on the front, the property of Warehouse 13 Research and Development, we've sold well over 2,000 of those this year.
Well, they're cool, and I'm planning on getting a season 4 one, and I have a cat named Audrey the cat. I'm not letting her near it because she'll shred the darn thing, Eddie. And there goes my. What does the T-shirt cost? And you have a signature edition too, or is everyone signed?
They're $900 a piece. But each one is worn and sweat in by me. And I wear each one to bed for 3 nights. At the end of the 3 nights, I sign them, I hermetically seal them, and send them off.
Sweet.
No, they're $25. If you're a small, medium, large, extra large, 2XL, or 2XL, I think, becomes 30, and then 3 and 4XL are 35, just because it costs us more to make those. But I was doing a deal online where I would sign them for free, and, you know, I just figure if you go to a convention, you know, the convention charges you $30 for the signature, and then, you know, it's $25 for the shirt. So, I don't know, you're basically getting a free signature, and that's okay by me, you know. Basically, I wanted to do it for all those people who can't make it to conventions, you know, that can't, because it's expensive, man, to buy the ticket to go to the convention, and once you get in, you have to pony up all this money to get signatures from other people. So it's become a pretty cool little thing that I've been able to do. I'm actually working on the season 5 T-shirt now, and I think it's going to be my. It's really shaping up to be pretty cool.
Well, I just tweeted EddieMcClintock.com, and by the way, I wasn't kidding about Audrey the cat. If you got a moment, we've only got a few questions left, but. Funny stories. I used to leave my notebook on at night, and Audria, my cat, she's named after Morena Baccarin from Stargate, the character Audria. And people, I'd get up in the morning, and I'd have these incoming tweets, mentions, you know, Ken, have you been drinking again? And I go, what are you talking about? You know, because I would leave it logged into the main Wormhole Writers account. And the darn cat would, she'd been watching me, and you know, cats are pretty jealous of keyboards because the keyboard's getting petted, not them. So she would go and step all over the keyboard and then somehow find the enter key, and out would, you know, these tweets would be argle bargle whoosh, you know, kind of like Alfred. but on the, so I made her an account, Audrey the cat. She's got about 300 and something followers. But after I made the account, she refuses to tweet because I leave that notebook logged in under Audrey the cat at night, and the darn cat refuses to tweet, Eddie. What am I going to do?
You need to up the dose of catnip.
But speaking of T-shirts, I've gone to a lot of conventions over the years. Wormhole Writers covers a lot. And I had a T-shirt that I bought. I'm going to leave the fandom out of it because the fans will probably get really angry. But I left it out one night on a chair in the bedroom, and I got up in the morning, and Audrey had shredded the T-shirt, Eddie. I mean, just it was just like, that was it. You know, there went my $50, right? And so when I get my Eddie McClintock T-shirt, I'm going to lock it up because she'll shred it. That's it.
So someone else charged you 50 bones for a T-shirt?
It was, well, yeah, when you go to the cons, right, and you get, you can take an item up to get autographed, right? So I had a...
Oh, right.
I stood in line to get it autographed, and I had it, you know, on a chair because I was so proud of it, and I woke up the next day, and that was it. No more T-shirt. So,
well, you know, maybe since when I see you, I'll give you guys free shirts. Maybe that'll it won't be as painful when she shreds your T-shirt.
Well, yeah, we'll get Audrey the cat her own T-shirt and let her shred it, and then I'll post pictures in various states of shredding. How about that?
That sounds good.
Well, the fans love your T-shirts, and we've got a picture of the front side of the T-shirt in your post and a link to it. Folks, go and get those Eddie McClintock T-shirts, and Season 5 T-shirt is in the making. We're going to be wrapping up here in the next few minutes. We talked about Comic-Con.
Can I plug this movie that I did a movie called Fish Story?
Yes, please.
We just got accepted into the Newport Beach Film Festival, and we've also we got the Newport Beach Film Festival, which is it's April 27th in Newport Beach, and you know, this movie is a complete departure from Warehouse 13. It's there's virtually no, it's a straight up romantic tearjerker, heartbreaker, and I'm pretty proud of it. I think we did something that we can be pretty happy with, and it's going to be, you can follow it on FA_fish_story on Twitter, and you're, you know, if anybody wants to come down to the film festival down in Newport Beach, you know, we'd love to see them.
Well, I'm going to send a tweet out right now. So this is fish_story_Napa. No, what is the? Oh, a fish story.
It's a_fish_story.
Underscore. There's an extra underscore in there. That's why I couldn't find it on Twitter.
Oh, there's an extra underscore after?
At the end, yeah, at the end of the Y. Recently, it was featured at Long Beach, or is about to be featured?
At Newport Beach.
Newport Beach, sorry. That's all I need to do is put Long Beach in there and send a bunch of fans to the wrong beach, right?
Yeah, don't go to Long Beach. Yeah, it's at Newport Beach. April
27th. I'll do a follow-up tweet on this, so let me put the at fish story here, _extra_, to be featured at, will you have anything on your website about it?
Yeah, There should be something on there, but I'll just send you an email. How about that?
Okay. I'm going to send out a tweet here to follow Fish Story, and here we go, and another link to your site, and now I'm already following a Fish Story. And you must have tweeted this before. I'll get Audrey the cat to follow a Fish Story too. She likes fish, Eddie, so
Awesome. And also, you know, for anybody who wants to come, we just got accepted into the International Family Film Festival, which is up in L.A. It's May 1st up in Los Angeles. So that's the International Family Film Festival.
Well, maybe Audrey and I will escape from San Francisco and meet you at the festival, and she can look at a fish _story_. It's in the tweet. That's congratulations. That's really exciting. So it's a tearjerker. You play a complete departure from the Pete Latimer role. It's a more serious role.
Yeah. Virtually no comedy at all.
Wow.
Which is tough. it's just tough for me because I go to the joke. When in doubt, go to the joke, you know? So.
Well, humor is easier to do. I was let's see here. We got an April 12th tweet here. Favorite, retweet some fish story stuff here. Do another one. Bing, bing, bing. Okay.
Are you looking at mine stuff?
I'm looking at underscore fish underscore story underscore the official account for A Fish Story the movie, right?
Oh, yeah, there you go. Thank you, man. Thank you.
Well, and I apologize. Sometimes, you know, we're following across all the accounts. We've got about 15,000, and sometimes I get lost. Holly and I are famous Twitter-aholics. There's no cure, by the way. But sometimes...
I'm looking at your tweets, man. 82,614. That is prolific, man.
I've almost caught up with him.
And what's your Twitter account?
It's HWilson2009.
HWilson2009. There you are.
That's Holly.
I'm following you right now.
Oh, thank you.
Wow, 70,966.
Yeah, and 66 was yours.
So this is my wife. I gotta show this to my wife so she'll quit. I'm like, look, you think 8,000? Look at that, 70,000.
Well,
is that your tattoo on there? That C-3PO, or I mean R2-D2? Is that?
No, that's a friend of my son's. One of his girlfriends got a tattoo the other night, but that is R2-D2 tattoo.
Yeah.
Well, Eddie, Wormhole Riders runs about 25 series accounts, Holly's a great tweeter. She joined us about 18 months, almost 2 years ago now, to be on the Warehouse 13 review team. Be careful. She and I tweet a lot. We try to be good, Eddie, but sometimes, you know, when Warehouse 13 comes on, watch out. You're going to see a lot of tweets.
I remember I wrote that show that Mike DePoe was in. I wrote that story last year. Where he was the hockey guy. Yeah, the hockey guy. Yeah, I wrote that one. I mean, you know, I reviewed it, you know.
Right. Good work.
Yeah, it was a good episode. It was great.
Now we've taken care of the fish, and my cat, by the way, when she heard the word fish, she her ears perked up. But we need to wind up because we know you need to be with family and get ready for Dave's school and Red Cross. We've had the honor of covering you at Comic-Con the last 3 years, courtesy of Sci-Fi PR, the great folks at Sci-Fi. But on a personal side, do you enjoy being in the panels? And do you enjoy attending panels at some of the larger cons, like Comic-Con San Diego?
I do. I actually, Comic-Con San Diego is a little intimidating just because it's so enormous. And it's a lot more formal. You know, when I basically do panels at other cons, a lot of times I'll just walk around or, you know, move around the audience and move around the stage and stuff like that. But I really kind of seem to thrive in those circumstances. I feel pretty at home when I'm doing that, especially because I know that the crowd is behind me. You know, they're pulling for me, and they are actually interested in what I have to say. So most times.
Well,
we've enjoyed
your panels a lot down there, and again, we thank Sci-Fi PR for the privilege of interviewing you and Joanne and some of the other characters in Warehouse 13. Saul, Roomneck in the past. You're a hoot in a press room, Eddie. Maybe you remember meeting Dr. Rochelle Smith, and you were wearing a hat, and you probably don't remember, but we had a great time with you. the last year at Comic-Con. And we were with you in the crowd, the entourage, because they've got to move you guys around, and some of the press, too, you know, underneath the hotels and the secret corridors, and you're being, like, whisked here, left, right, straight.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, because Comic-Con has gotten so big, you know, a lot of the activity now is across the railroad tracks. It's actually the commuter train thing, right? I've had appointments across the street to go see, you know, go to press rooms or parties over there. And you got to budget like 45 minutes to get across the frickin' street.
Yeah, it's gotten pretty wild. I heard they were thinking about moving it up to Anaheim.
There's two rumors going around. We can't confirm them. San Diego, this is public, so this is not rumor. CCI, Comic-Con International, has been pressuring to expand the main convention center out into the bay a little bit more. And they've approved that late last year, that was finally approved by the council. Otherwise, they said that they were going to look at another venue, and there was two venues they were looking at. One was Anaheim, and one was San Francisco. Here in the city, the Moscone Center is being quadrupled in size. When it's done, it'll be the largest convention center west of the Rockies. So, but, you know, Comic-Con's got to go where they've got space, right?
Right.
What are they doing now? I don't know, some 500,000 or 600,000 people attend that thing over the 4 days? It's,
Yeah.
It's fun. So when you go, you like being in the panels and being on stage, and we love to see you up there. Do you ever get time where you can go attend a panel without being jumped on by 10,000 fans?
Not yet. No, I haven't been able to, cause most of the time when I'm there, I'm either working or, you know, spending time with my family, cause I'm generally coming back from Toronto for 2 days to do Comic-Con before then I have to fly back to Toronto to finish up. When is it? Is it in July?
July 17th, I believe it starts this year, and we'll be down there again this year. We hope that 13 is featured again, and we hope, again, we don't call the ball on this, but we hope that after a great run of season 4.5 that Sci-Fi will announce a fifth season, because, you know, it's one, you're one of the anchor shows. Let's be blunt, you know. 13 got 20 episodes this year, and a lot of series are going with 10s and 13s now, right? So.
Yeah, we were 13, 13, 13, and then season 4 was 20, which they broke up into two 10-episode segments.
Well, we hope there'll be a season 5 and beyond. Speaking of conventions, we had a question from another shy person in Australia, a young fan who saw you there. What was your convention experience like in Australia compared to the mega cons here in the States?
Man, you know, Australia is really great. What really struck me was, you know, we shoot the show in Toronto, and I've done a few shows up in Canada, in Montreal and in Toronto proper, and it was deserted for us. Virtually no one showed up for Warehouse 13. I have pictures of it on my Facebook account. It was pretty funny. I mean, Saul and Aaron and I flew to Montreal to do this convention there, and Adam Baldwin was on one side of us, and then Nicholas Brennan was on the other side, and also James Marsters. And so there were lines on both sides of our table, to the left and to the right, packed all the way back. Patrick Stewart was there. Shatner was there. I mean, the place was packed. And our line in front of our table, empty. And I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating. There was no one there. So, I mean, to have that kind of response in the, you know, the country where we actually shoot the show is pretty disheartening. So, like, to be able to get on a plane and fly, you know, 17 hours down to Perth and Sydney and Adelaide and Melbourne, and to have the kind of turnout that we had and we experienced down there. I went down with Aaron this year, and it was a blast. The Australian fans are amazing.
We've covered them before in past years. That was the Oz Comic Con series, right? Oz Comic Con.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right.
Yep. In Oz. Well, I'm going to put out a tweet there because the shy person will know that their question was because they'll catch the Oz Comic Con tag and they'll know that their question was answered and they'll probably send me a very nice note. So thank you for answering that. Did you enjoy meeting your fans in Australia and down under in the Asia Pacific region?
Oh yeah, I had a blast. I took my son Jack with me. Again, we traveled with Shatner and Richard Dean Anderson and Jason Momoa and Colin Ferguson and Emily Wurup. We had a great group. Oh, and Carol
Rothery.
We just had a blast. We had a blast. The fans are great, and Rand and Carissa, who run the OzCon down there, they're good people. So they took good care of us.
I haven't been to Sydney in a number of years, but we've had some people report on those events, and you know, those fans down there, they have to sometimes wait months or a year before the shows come on down there, and they're so happy when you know, folks like yourself show up down there to support a series like Warehouse 13 that they love. So kudos on that, Eddie. That's great.
Thanks. I think they're still on, like, season 2.
Yeah, they are. And I think season 3 is just now coming out down there. So they've got a lot of great episodes to see in season 3 and, of course, season 4. We've only got two more questions, and we'll let you go so you can get with your family. And we want to thank you for spending so much time with Wormhole Riders here on You Decide. We really are honored with your busy schedule that you were able to make this show happen. We'd like to do a shout-out to your manager. We won't put his last name out there, but Rick, thank you very much. And thank you for all the Wormhole Riders for supporting us over the last 5 years. This is kind of a more personal question. How do you spend your downtime, if you have any, when you're not pursuing work?
You know, the family skis. We ski together, which is really great this year, especially. We did a lot of skiing. We went to Mammoth. You know, this year we're going to try and get the boys on surfboards so that we can spend some time at the ocean. My wife and I, you know, I'm not in the best shape right now. I kind of been slacking off a little bit, but, you know, we're kind of gym rats. So we like to work out together and, you know, like the boys go to school and Lynn and I work out and hang out and, you know, when the boys are at school, we get to be husband and wife again and not just mom and dad. So it's just when I'm home and I have time off, it's good to just spend time with my family and hang out.
Indeed. And then the last question, Eddie, what's next for you? You talked a little bit about the film fest. What's next other than working at the Dave School this week and Red Cross? What do you got planned for the future? Outside of getting your tweets up to, we're going to give you what, Holly, can we give him a couple of weeks to get up to 80,000 tweets? Is that fair?
That'll work.
I'm going to start tonight. You know, a friend of mine is basically like a son to George A. Romero, and for years he's been talking to me about George, and I mean, George A. Romero is one of the reasons I'm as sick and twisted as I am, and so I just love George, and so all the time I'd be like, "Hey, Matt, has George been asking about me? Has George been asking about me?" And Matt's like, "Oh yeah, yeah, he asks about you all the time." And then Maddie and I were talking one day, and it all came about because, you know, sci-fi movies, as you had mentioned, Ken, I did that movie called Boogeyman and sci-fi films. It's like, hey, you know, if you ever have an idea for a film, and I went to Matt and I said, hey, do you think George would be interested in doing a, you know, George Romero Presents or directed by George A. Romero? Or I go, do you think you, and Matt was like, you know, I've been thinking about this idea called Road of the Dead, and he and I talked about it, and I said, you know, what I loved about the original Dawn of the Dead is that it had a sense of humor. It didn't take itself too seriously, so we kind of had a meeting with George, and I pitched that to him. I told him, you know, about Warehouse 13 and the fact that it's a show that can be very serious, but at the same time it has a sense of humor, and he loved the idea that we pitched him about Road. So we have a script, and we have George has signed all the papers and the attorneys, all our ducks are in a row, so it's just a matter of moving forward with this Road of the Dead, George A. Romero's Road of the Dead.
Is this a zombie kind of a thing?
Yeah, it'll be zombies. It's basically, you know, the humans, the one percenters have all moved to, you know, some island that they've sequestered themselves in, and they've, you know, barricaded all the entry points, and now they've decided to use the zombies for their own entertainment, kind of like the Romans did with the Christians, and they've turned them into gladiators of sorts. So they put them into these like NASCAR death race events where the zombies are, you know, rewarded with tasty morsels if they do well, and if they don't do well, they're thrown to the lions. And you know, it's interesting to think of a bunch of zombies like being afraid of being thrown to the lions. You know, what my idea was to create empathy for the zombies, you know, to see what that would be like. So it's pretty funny, and it's pretty good. We're still working on it, so hopefully we'll shoot that sometime next year.
Well, Holly likes zombies, a big fan of The Walking Dead. Holly, what do you think about this movie as we end up here today?
I love it. Go with it. I can't wait.
Yeah, maybe Holly, you can come in and shuffle around and be a zombie.
I'll be a zombie, not a problem.
Eddie, we want to thank you for spending, it's coming up on 2 hours with us today between the live and the recorded segment. Folks, we're going to be a little behind schedule. We wanted to get the recorded out on the website at 5:30, but it takes about 45 minutes to remaster it. Eddie, thank you so much from all the Wormhole Riders all around the world for a great interview today. We look forward to season 4.5 and beyond. And is there anybody else you'd like to shout out to on as we bid you adieu from Orlando, Florida?
I just want to say thanks to everybody for supporting the show. And I hope that we can continue to make everybody happy and entertain everyone. And I really appreciate the support from the fans and from you, Ken and Holly, and everybody at Wormhole Riders.
Thank you very much. Eddie, have a nice night in Florida, and we'll see you on the other side, on Twitter, in the wormhole. When you get your movie all set up, drop me a line, and we'll make sure to put it on our movie site and rock and roll with that thing.
All right, I look forward to seeing you guys in person again real soon.
Thanks, Eddie.
Thanks a lot. Have a great night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Jessica Hamm.